friends. It is Saturday. It is July 28th, 2018. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. And I'm broadcasting from the Chicago suburbs, where it's nice and sunny and bright. Wonderful day. Thanks for joining me today at republicbroadcasting.org. Please also visit and subscribe to SpingolaSpeaks.net and Wooly'sBlog.blogspot.com and ScreeningSandyHook.net. Now, when you visit SpingolaSpeaks.net, be sure and look at all of the health issues that he covers. It's quite a wonderful resource, and I hope that you will avail yourself of all of the efforts that this gentleman has put into that website. During the program, email questions or comments to comment@spingola.email. I don't use my other email address during the program, so if you want me to read your email during the program, then that address is comment@spingola.email. Please also visit the chat room at spingola.chatango.com. You may view our guest lineup at spingola.com. And in addition to the links for each guest, I also have other interesting links relative to the guest and his or her subject. Our first guest today is Frederick Shaw. He is the Director of Public Affairs for CCHR International, and CCHR stands for Citizens Commission on Human Rights, and their website is cchrint.org. I don't know whether we have our guest on yet. Let's see. I just changed Skype. I finally got the upgrade. I've been resisting it for some time because that's the way I am. So I'm not sure that we have him on the program yet. Okay, wonderful, wonderful. All right, let me tell you just a little bit about our guest today. Just recently, he's had some wonderful things happen as a result of his work. And he's a native of Compton, California, and he's lived there most of his life. He worked as a sheriff with the Sheriff's Department of Los Angeles County from 1980 to 1993. In 1992, he became the president and co-founder of the World Literacy Crusade, an international organization with the purpose of eradicating poverty and hopelessness in the inner cities and around the world. He is past president of the Compton branch of the NAACP and the only president to be appointed to a California state chair overseeing the Children's Task Force. Fred, welcome to the program.
It is a pleasure, Deanna, to be able to be on your show today. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. We haven't talked for quite a while. I had you on the program back in 2014, and you have been so busy, and you have accomplished so many things, and you continue to just keep having these successes. And so tell us a little bit about what you've done lately with regard to, I can't believe that people would actually use electric shock therapy on children. It just blows my mind that anybody would think that that's a good idea for anyone, but particularly children. So tell us go ahead.
Well, what I was able to do is I went to the national convention of the NAACP, and I had presented evidence to the California State Conference that electroshock was being done throughout this nation on children from ages 0 to 5 years of age. Of course, above 5 years of age is being done. But just the fact that children were getting electric shock before some of them could even walk and talk. To me, that is horrendous. It is scary, and you're talking about a violation of rights. We talk about human and civil rights, but what about children's rights? And, you know, just because a parent believes a psychiatrist doesn't mean that the child should be subject to that type of treatment. And I was able to take a resolution to the NAACP National Convention, and they were able to pass it unanimously. In fact, after the preliminary research, there were some people who challenged it, said it wasn't true. So the California State Conference, they did their own independent research, found out that what I was saying was true, introduced it to the floor, and it was adopted without even one opposition, person in opposition. So we were able to get that, and then what we do once we get that, then we try to make it a bipartisan issue, and then we see if we can get Democrats and Republicans to pass laws based on that, similar to what we did in 2003 when I did this exact same thing, challenging the fact that schools should not have the right to force parents to put their kids on drugs as a condition for being in school. That actually became federal law signed in by President George Bush. And so we've had success like that, and we're intending to repeat that with the legislation on electric shock.
Is it that people aren't aware of these things? Because you said that they were really incredulous about what you were saying.
Well, the thing is that the mass number of people, the masses, they believe authority in this country. If the president says it, if the governor says it, if the news media says it, then they believe that it is true. So when you walk into your doctor, a lot of times the doctor says, well, you know, the kid is being a little difficult, and then the doctor gives you the reason, and then you believe the reason, just like when they tell us we have diabetes or we have some other disorder in the body, we tend to believe our doctor. Well, people believe the same way when it comes to mental health. And it's not based on any science. It's not based on any truth. But it's based on such a great marketing campaign that now has been in existence the entire life of our young people. And so they have grown up looking at the commercials saying, go do this. Now the stars, the movie actresses and the singers and the basketball players are all being made spokespersons to talk about their depression. And you know, one of the things that Dr. Marianne Block says, just because you're depressed doesn't mean you have depression. And I think that's what we need to look at in this country. There is amount of challenge in growing up in this lifetime, and we're not supposed to try to escape it. By drugging ourselves, we're supposed to work through it so that we can become stronger. And I think that's what we're looking at right now.
And that's true. excuse me. Didn't Dr. Soz say that they were trying to medicalize our emotions?
Well, yeah, he said a lot of things. I would imagine, I don't know that quote per se, but I would imagine that sounds like something he would say. And that's exactly what's happening. And not only that, but let's take it a step deeper. If someone close to you is killed or murdered or even in a sudden accident, the normal reaction for us is to be depressed.
Of course.
So then why are we prescribing drugs as if the appropriate reaction is a mental illness? Mother dies, you cry. Dad dies, you cry. Your sibling cries. Best friend, cousin that you love, you cry. Why is that considered a mental illness and called depression? Because you're in grief. And bereavement is in the Diagnostic Statistical Manual as a mental illness.
It is amazing to me, just amazing. And I totally believe what you're saying. And in reference to the... to the electric shock treatment, they say, or they're trying to imply that it's not as bad as it used to be.
Well, first of all, cosmetically, it is not as bad as it used to be. Actually, it may even be worse, because all they have done is give you a paralytic drug so your body doesn't show the leaping and shaking and so forth. So your body is unable to respond. So now imagine if you can't respond to something, the trauma that's actually going down. You know, when we jerk and stuff, it's almost like a release. You're trying to throw it out of your body. If you can't move at all and you're under anesthesia, then it looks like it's better. Because in the old days, you know, if you were trying to sell that product to somebody as something that's successful and useful, and they saw it firsthand, most people couldn't even watch. So now you make it look good because they don't see the trauma that's occurring. Well, but you know, when you put 460 volts through a brain, there's damage being done regardless of how you make it look.
Indeed. Yes, I'm looking at this article. I've read it. It's just, 460 volts of electricity. And this is supposed to induce a grand mal seizure. Why would they want to do that?
Well, it's just a byproduct or a side effect of getting it. That's not that they want to do it. Is that's what happens when you put that kind of trauma on the brain. There is damage that is done that will cause that. It's an interesting thing how we in America have not been taught to think. It's like all of medicine is trying to eliminate seizures, and then there's a process that's creating grand mal seizures, and then that's okay and acceptable. In fact, psychiatry has tried to say that electric shock gives you a good form of brain damage. How do you have a good form of brain damage?
Exactly. Now, the FDA has never had any clinical studies, never required any clinical studies. There's no proof that it is what it's cracked up to be. There's absolutely no proof. And yet people look to the FDA as some sort of a safety net, and if something is approved by the FDA, then it's all well and good. But the FDA has never even looked into this, whether it's even safe. And go ahead.
The problem is the same thing that you have with electric shock you have going on with the psychiatric drugs. You would wonder why the FDA would approve drugs that cause suicide and homicide. But they do. Well, the reason is that the majority of those on the FDA work for pharmaceutical companies. That should be a conflict of interest in itself. It should not be allowed. Everywhere else, you can't do that if it's a conflict of interest. But in the FDA, most of them work for the pharmaceutical companies, in some cases making more money working for the pharmaceutical company than they do on their regular job. So everybody knows, from the White House to the inner city, you don't bite the hand that feeds you. So that's why drugs that would not and methods that would not have been allowed at other times are being allowed now, because, you know, they're getting paid. Thankfully, CCHR has made it to where they have to put the warning labels of what the effects of these drugs would be. One of the things that we have to start changing the vocabulary and the way we look at this, we look at things as side effects when they're actually the effect of what happens. You know, right. So we say, oh, it's a side effect, because that's a way of lessening it. That happens, but that isn't what we intend to happen. So what they do, they call it a side effect. Actually, if you can put a warning label on it, it has happened enough that you can say it's the effect of the drug.
That's true. Right. There is no side effects. They're all effects, and they're all bad. There's no good effects from the drug. I don't know. It just it amazes me. And you mentioned that that schools were more cognizant of not demanding that children be put on drugs in order to attend school. But isn't that still going on? Aren't there still people out there that are teachers that are recommending that children are overactive or somehow that they need to be a little quieter in their class, particularly when it comes to boys, who are always rambunctious? That's the way boys are.
Well, the thing is that, yes, they're still making these recommendations, and the parents have to know the rules and the laws and know their rights. Unfortunately, we spend so much time working. Well, time we get home, let's take a mother. Mm-hmm. Let's say that the husband is in the home. Well, they both work. The father's kind of maintaining the kids while the mother's cooking. Everything comes by the end of the day. It's 7:30. Mm-hmm. All they want to do now is sit back and watch a little TV before they got to go to bed for the next day and get ready for the next day. So we're not as aware. At one point, fathers were working, mothers weren't. You know, it was a simpler time. All that was going out. Now everybody's hustling. Some parents are working two jobs and one is working one job. So the amount of attention that is paid on what is actually going on from entities that you should trust, well, it's not being done. And so the parents go in. And I remember when my son was diagnosed with dyslexia. And I remember, luckily I was on the sheriff department. I grew up in the inner city, so we questioned everything. But I remember the feeling that I got when they told me that. It was like, wow. There was instant acceptance, and I went into, well, what can I do to help my child? They only messed up when they said to me, and this was started me all involved with CCHR and everything, they said he needed to see a psychologist. And I said, why? And they said, well, to help him with his self-esteem. I said, well, I'm his father. That's my job. That's not their job. And so a friend of mine told me of a place that might be able to help him, and over time it did. And then I went back, told the school that he had a private therapist, but they were questioning the validity of the test that they gave him, and they wanted him retested, and then they couldn't find that he supposedly had dyslexia. Now, they had told me it was uncurable. So now, and that's, now I've seen where my son has been cured of it. So I, being how I am, asked, well, how many children are being misdiagnosed?
Exactly.
And that led me on the path that got me where I am.
Wow. All righty, we are going to go to a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, How would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our first guest today is Frederick Shaw. He is the Director of Public Affairs for CCHR International, and that stands for Citizens Commission on Human Rights. And their website is cchrint.org. And that's very interesting. I admire the fact that you did not accept what you were being told, that you questioned it. I think that's really, that's great. And to find out that your son did not have this problem, oh my gosh, as you asked before the break, how many other children were medicated for something that they didn't really need medication for because they didn't actually have a problem? And you also brought up the psychiatric drugs in relation to children. And a couple weeks ago, we had Dr. Toby Watson on talking about the drugging of the immigrant children. And it just seems like children are such a huge target. And it just makes me very sad to know about this.
Well, I'm a answer as a minister. I'm not going to put what I'm about to say on the Citizens Commission on Human Rights. But as a minister, a Christian minister, from observing what I've observed, the information I've been exposed to, as a whole, and I hate to say it like this, but I will, and I'll defend it against anybody from that's a psychiatrist. I only have three rules. I will debate any psychiatrist on television, radio, or in a public forum. I'm not interested in one-on-one stuff, because one of the things that they've been able to do is hide the fact that psychiatry as a whole, not each and every psychiatrist, but as a whole, is a criminal organization. Just think of this. You are 50% of those that get electric shock are the elderly. Two-thirds are women. We're electroshocking children from 0 to 5 years of age.
Oh, my gosh. That's
bully stuff. Who picks on women and children and the elderly but bullies? Women are being electric shocked that are pregnant, causing miscarriages.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's a criminal organization. I had someone ask me, so you're saying all psychiatrists are evil? I said, no. But I say all of them lack integrity because they all know this is going down and then none of them are speaking up. And how can we put and say, well, why didn't this cop tell on other cops? And why didn't this lawyer know that that was a crooked lawyer and didn't tell? How come the psychiatrists, who were supposed to be experts in the art of living, they're supposed to be the masters of the mind, how come they can't do it?
Indeed. It's because...
So that's where the problem lies.
Yes.
It's a criminal organization.
Oh, my gosh.
Can't do those. We are not supposed to electroshock prisoners of war and terrorists. So why are we doing it to children and pregnant women? And by the way, when they tell you, oh, well, no, actually it's a brain stimulant. If you stick your finger in an electric socket, that's 110 volts. So you know how powerful 460 volts is. That's industrial-type power that you use in steel mills and things like that. And that's what's going through the minds of children?
Oh, my gosh.
The reason is
incredible.
The reason is mental health is creating the mental illnesses that they get paid to fix. That is a trick in itself. I give you a drug because you are depressed because your friend died, and then you start hearing voices. And then I give you another drug to handle the voices. And then you start feeling suicidal. And then I give you another drug to handle that. And then you start feeling homicidal. Do you know that every school shooter has been on these drugs?
Yes, I do know that. Absolutely.
I mean, why don't they have the ability to manage themselves and see the result that they are producing? The homeless population has exploded since 1999. In some states, suicide has increased 30%. Veterans are being drugged, coming out of the service, and they're killing themselves at 22 a day. What good is this organization?
Indeed. All righty, we are going to take a quick break. We will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest is Fred Shaw. He is the Director of Public Affairs for CCHR International, and their website is cchrint.org. And just before we went to break, you were talking about the number of military personnel who kill themselves each and every day, and you mentioned the figure 22. And not only are the military personnel killing themselves because of these psych drugs, but their families are also exposed to a lot of these drugs because they're in the environment where they are encouraged to take these drugs. It's all about money.
Absolutely it is. And unfortunate, you know, we put on such a front. We want everyone to stand for the flag. We want all of the symbols, but when it comes down to it, you know, we thanking our veterans for their service, but then we're not providing them with quality service. You know, there are a lot of programs. They found that if you give a veteran a dog, that dog helps stabilize it because it gives them someone to care for and look out after. There's equestrian programs and things like that that help the veterans. There are houses that they can go to and almost where they can relax and start getting integrated back into society. If they've been in high stress combat situations. However, a lot of veterans are being drugged and they never face combat. They never even been out there. But when you're coming back from Afghanistan or Persian Gulf or whatever, now you come back and they just assume because of that, what you've seen and what you've been through, then you need to be drugged. They're drugging some of these veterans without even giving them evaluations. They're just handing them bags of medicine. I know that because veterans have told me that. So it's like, what are we doing? And I'm going to tell you, it sounds like a mass plot to create the insanity that would allow them to take our rights from us.
Wow. I think you're right. And They are just handing these drugs out. They want to probably, lobotomize everybody medically or through pharmaceuticals. And it's in the United States, the budget for mental health rose from $33 billion in 1993 to over $100 billion within 10 years. And go ahead.
What happens if half of that budget went into programs to help children truly be educated, to the performing arts, to the sports program that keep kids active? Not even half the budget, just half the budget that's used on children. And then we put it into things and gave vocational training. That's a lot of money.
Yes, it is.
$50 billion could change a lot of things. But
indeed,
we would rather drug them and spend all of this in trying to handle the situation instead of trying to prevent the situation from occurring. When people are working, when kids got things to do, it is well documented that they do better. You don't see all of the mental illness and so forth. But now they're targeting our stars and our athletes. It's like this. I'm an athlete. I'm well known. I'm famous. All the girls like me. And I'm going to just tell it like it is. And so now I got a girlfriend here and I got a girlfriend there. And then this one girl gets pregnant, and now it looks like I'm going to have to pay. And then I look up and another girl is pregnant. This girl, who I really like, is demanding that I marry her, but now she doesn't want to marry me because I got these other girls pregnant. All the people around me are trying to get money from me. Well, if that's your environment, which is the case in a lot of these guys' situations, you're going to end up with some type of depression. But
yes,
it's not mental illness. It's mismanagement of your life. See, you can find one girl, be with her, take care of her. If it's pregnant, it's the girl you love, and it's not some girl you don't want to be bothered with. We remember the story of Ray Caruth, where he killed this girl because she was pregnant. He was a football player making all that money. These are bad decisions that people make. And then they make bad decisions because of that. It's not mental illness. It's more stupidity.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Well, SSRIs, they go back to in the 1960s, and then they created Prozac. Prozac came out when, 1987, 88?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. And they're... There, by 2010, 54 million people worldwide were taking Prozac.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of money.
And there's documentation that people on Prozac killed their families, kids, and things like that. We have a documentary in our museum on Hollywood Boulevard for anybody that happens to be listening from the Los Angeles area at 6616 Sunset Boulevard. We have Psychiatry and Industry of Death. In there, there's people talking before a committee about how Prozac is causing people to try to commit suicide, do those things, and they said that they couldn't find any credible evidence that showed that. The dead bodies wasn't enough.
Oh, my goodness.
But that's what happens when money becomes the modern-day god. Let me show you how they have been able to infiltrate our society. All they did was realize that if you created a subsidy for everyone who participated, that you could become mainstream. So right now our schools, if a kid has a label, get more money. If group homes, probation and foster care and all that, if a kid is labeled, that home gets more money. In fact, welfare mothers will get more money if their kids have a disability than they do if the kid is just a normal kid and the mother is on welfare. I remember years ago, a mother of three could get food stamp, low-income housing, and $800 a month. That same mother with three kids could get the same food stamp, the same low-income housing, but she would get $1,800 a month if the kids were diagnosed with a disability. So you have people selling out their own children because of the financial incentive, because $1,000 more a month, that pays a light bill, that allows you to eat a little bit better quality food. But even more tragic, I was in Harlem where they added this big science brain research center to Columbia University. And they strategically put it next to the housing projects so that they could offer clinical trials to people who are barely making their light bill. And they would pay them to come in and get checked, and they would pay them additional for each child they brought with them and even served them lunch. So for a person struggling and can't figure out how to keep the lights on, that becomes a very viable thing. It sounds good. It's the science, this and that. It's all at Columbia University. These are doctors. And then you get portrayed. They put in the little electrodes in the brains of the kids and doing all of these little tests. And it's sad, the betrayal that we have in that. And now they are pushing this big campaign. You might have heard it. Removing the stigma of mental health, and they are targeting the black and brown community because those communities are basically used to handling their situations internally. So they're not making enough money on those communities, or they're making enough, they're not making what they want to make. So they create these campaigns removing the stigma when they're the very ones who put the stigma there.
Wow.
So now you can get all these little African-American and brown children, Native Americans, and all these people, because we want to let them know it's okay to get mental health. Well, yeah, that sounds good. It's just that the solution they provide is hideous.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Well, you mentioned clinical trials. Regarding Prozac, there were only 286 patients who were in the clinical trials. Only 286 patients. And the FDA approved it. And within a couple of years, and you mentioned this, there was a trial. There were people who said, hey, wait a minute. This happened to my husband. He killed himself. And as you said, they said the evidence wasn't valid enough. That the evidence at this trial, I think it was in 1991, because there had been so many deaths and so many violent episodes and paranoia and marital conflicts and all these other things, that they decided to have a trial, or at least have a trial. And they said no. It wasn't valid, and so the FDA did not withdraw the product, and it took them, 13 years to even put a black box warning on Prozac?
And that in itself shows you the evil that surrounds it.
Yes,
because
they knew all along.
Warning people.
Yes. Because
who had the power to make the FDA wait 13 years before they would even put it put the warning labels there? See, those are the questions that we got to ask. You know,
right.
In South Africa, I was told by the high ups in the tribes that the children are being drugged for ADHD, and the only thing that is wrong with them is that they're hungry and sleepy.
Oh.
So you would prescribe a drug and won't even give the kid a sandwich.
Oh, my gosh.
See, that's in South Africa, where they're drugging the children now there faster than they're drugging them in the United States. Let me tell you a statistic. There are 9 million children in the United States on psychotropic drugs of one form or another, antidepressant or whatever, all of these different things. Let's just say that 1% of them have the capability of being a school shooter. That's 90,000 children that at any moment could be a school shooter. But let's give the system the benefit of the doubt. And let's say it's only 1% of the 1%. That's still 900 children at any moment that could do an act like that. Well, that's why we've had a school shooter every week and a mass shooting of some sort every day this year.
Mm-hmm.
See, so now what we do is treat the symptom, and then we can make money. We can declare, oh, let's remove the guns. Well, I'm an ex-law enforcement officer. I know that the moment you make the guns illegal, if you do it in partial, well, just certain type of weapons, or you make it across the board, the moment you make it law, it's going to do like everything else that's ever happened in this country. It's going to go underground. So the crooks will have their guns anyway. But the decent citizens won't be able to protect themselves. I asked a question the other night that shook the room up. They were talking about taking all of the guns and we want to end gang violence. And then right after that, they start talking about police shootings and how the police are shooting people and stuff. And I said, well, wait a minute. Didn't you just say you wanted a law that made only the police have guns? Now you're going to say you can't trust the police with guns? Well, who can have a gun? You see, because we're not thinking things through. We're being reactive, but we're not being strategic. We're not saying, wait a minute, hold on. Why is this happening? We've had guns a long time in this country. We had the Wild West. We've had people get killed. There's nothing. But what is the real thing? The real thing that's made the explosion is the fact that these drugs are in the systems of people who are using the gun. It is not the gun.
Right.
It is the drugs that's causing them to do it.
Well, I live in the Chicago suburbs, and Chicago has one of the strictest gun laws in the country, and yet Chicago is, there's violence all the time, killings all the time, and including police that shoot innocent people or shoot people in the back. And now if a private citizen can't shoot a person in the back, obviously a policeman is not supposed to do anything that your average citizen could not do. And if you have,
well, let me correct something.
Okay.
The policeman has the advantage, one advantage on that. He can shoot someone in the back if he considers that their next action could be a detriment to life and limb of another person. So if I'm running, if I've shot at some people, or they're looking at me as somebody who just did a murder and I have a gun, even though I'm running, they can shoot me because I pose a threat to the next person that I run into, and I could have the capability of killing that person too. So you can shoot a person if it is deemed that he is a threat. Now, if he's running and he doesn't have a weapon, then you shoot him in the back. Well, then you saw an officer just get prosecuted on that. You can't do that. But if he's whacked out on a psychiatric drug and he's running around with a knife in his hand where he could slash people and stuff, you can shoot him, even though he's fleeing. I just wanted to clear that up. There are certain circumstances when you can do it.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. Okay, we are going to a quick break. We'll be right back. This is so disturbing. Very disturbing. All right, we'll be right back.
corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefits. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
This is Deanna, and our guest is Fred Shaw. He is the Director of Public Affairs for the Citizens Commission on Human Rights International. Their website is cchrint.org, and this is very disturbing. It seems to me that they are in Chicago. I can only speak for Chicago. It seems that they are withdrawing people, they're withdrawing the help from the communities that really need police protection. It seems that they are actually contributing to the violence and the shootings, and I think that they quote-unquote, are targeting certain groups of people who might question things more readily than other groups of people.
Well, this society right now, much like mental health, is not what it seems to be. One of the things, like, let's just take mental health because it's easy to spot. There is no such thing in America as mental health. There is mental control. If it was mental health, IQs would increase. We would think faster. We would think clearer. It is actually designed to slow kids down, to control behaviors and things like that. We have a tendency to label things one way, and it's actually another way. So,
yes.
You know, the first thing, so when we look out at society, we see that same thing mirrored because the same people are basically orchestrating it. You know, we've had our children, I'm not going to talk which cause, But we've had our children marching through the streets, 200,000 ascending on Washington, D.C., but we never asked the question, who allowed all these kids to be out of school? Who backed that? How did these kids afford to get to D.C.?
Yeah.
See, we're not looking at things of being orchestrated. I write movie scripts, and I can't write scripts as good as what's actually going on in real life. It's like, because it's unbelievable that all of these entities are causing these things to orchestrate and shuttle us down a certain path, and, you know, be it on gun control, be it on a whole litany of issues, but also be it in mental health, where when you look closely, behind the decline of education, behind the destruction and the decline of religion, behind all of this, you see mental health sitting there. We don't know, and I'm not even, trust me, I'm not passing any judgment on any group, but we have become where we don't even know what restroom to use. That's how confused things have become.
Yes,
you know,
you're right.
And I'm not pointing out, I'm not getting into, you know, all of the psychological backing that goes into these movements and things like that, to where one group loses all its rights so another group can have their rights. And I'm not going to talk any more on that. But that's what we got going on. Let me tell you this. If Ritalin, and it's been tested out to prove, is similar to cocaine, and Adderall is similar to meth, and we're legalizing marijuana, and then we're turning around and treating all addiction, including cigarette smoke, as a mental illness, isn't that the fox guarding the hen house, telling the farmer that we need more foxes because somebody's eating the hens? It's like we're creating the addictions. We legalize marijuana, and then we come right back and then have a commercial saying, ban tobacco. What the heck are we talking about? You know, it's like, but that's the confusion.
Yes. Well, getting back to Prozac, and you mentioned before that the revolving door between the pharmaceutical industry and the FDA. Now, Prozac was introduced in 1988. By 1994, the FDA received 30,000 adverse event reports. Now, most people are not going to do any reports. If something negative happens to them on a medication, they're not going to say anything. They're not going to report it because they don't know that they can. Oh, we're at the top of the hour. We'll be right back.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce?
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.